Welcome to episode 240 of the Microsoft Cloud IT Pro Podcast, recorded live on July 23rd, 2021. This is a show about Microsoft 365 and Azure from the perspective of IT pros and end users, where we discuss the topic or recent news and how it relates to you. Today, Scott tricks Ben into reacting live on air to the announcement of the latest version of SharePoint Server Subscription Edition that was announced this week. I think I'm going to go to Vegas in December for the Azure AI conference with Saliance, the Dev Intersections one out there. That is tentatively the plan.
Yeah, that could be optimistic the way things are going right now.
It might be. Notice I said tentatively the plan.
Yeah. I think we've talked about how we're both in Florida enough, but certainly COVID is still a thing in the world. And it's kind of sort of a prevalent thing. You wouldn't necessarily know it living in Florida because I don't know.
It's Florida?
Yeah, because it's Florida and like there was never mask mandates, anything like that. Like that was all out the window. But, and Florida also, like well into the pandemic, has been known for not reporting its case numbers for COVID in time, particularly things around like positive cases, death rate, things like that. Like, I think even now, Florida is only publishing officially once a week to give numbers over to the CDC, and it's all kind of like up in the air what's going on. Yesterday, I believe, was the day that Florida reported its numbers for this week. Yeah. So yesterday, Florida reported 12,647 new daily COVID positives, which was the most reported by the state since January 30th of 2021. That's kind of a staggering number. Like, we're now in July, almost August, and we're back to January, Yeah, if people remember like the last year and a half, like things are not necessarily trending in the right way. And then the other thing that like this is Florida, right? This is what we do. That is 22, so that 12,647 new daily COVID positives that was reported, that is 22.9% of all new daily cases reported to the CDC, and more than the entire country of the United States was reporting just 24 days ago. So if you happen to be or have plans to travel to Florida sometime soon, I don't know, you might want to like rethink that, even if you are vaccinated and all the other things, because apparently we've got some rampant stuff going on.
See, I'm leaving. I'm going to Michigan. I'm escaping Florida.
So you're going to take all of our Florida germs with you. I'm sure Michigan's going to love that as well.
You know, I'm going to go hide out in the woods with my family and not see anybody. So
yeah,
or at the lake. Yeah.
It's really tough, especially like over the summer here. I've been trying to figure out just travel or things like we can do with the kids. My wife and I are like, we've been married almost 2 decades now. Our anniversary is coming up the end of next week. And normally we'd travel someplace, maybe go to the theater or see like a Broadway play or something that you wouldn't do with like kids around. And yep. I started looking and I was like, yeah, no, I don't want to fly anywhere just because of whatever goes on that side of things, flying domestically. And I just don't want to be like skeeved out along the way. And then and that's on me, right? Like I totally get that. So I don't want to fly anywhere. But then I started looking, I was like, you know what? What if I can get over that? And I do want to fly somewhere. Like, could we go to another major city in the United States and be able to see like a traveling Broadway show, anything like that? There is nothing going on out there. Like, even like Broadway in New York City doesn't reopen for another couple months. And who knows, that might get pushed back again. I too am down to about the point where I think I'm just going to look for like a cabin in the woods and go for it. Like that.
Oh, that's the way to go.
Yeah.
Go drive somewhere, drive to a cabin in the woods.
I think that's it. I'm going to be in like a 3-hour radius and let's just go for it.
I expand it out to like 5 or 6. Get up into the mountains like Georgia, North Carolina.
Yeah.
Somewhere maybe where like you can actually enjoy the woods.
Depends on what time my wife gets out of work on Friday. Yeah, we'll see. So anyway, all the way back to the beginning, your conference may or not be canceled by December because we'll be in like what, wave 68 of COVID of across the United States.
Maybe we'll be on to the next strain after Delta. And does this mean I'm not supposed to fly Delta because of the Delta strain, just like I wasn't supposed to drink Corona because of the coronavirus?
I've never heard either of those things, but that sounds very much like a Floridian thing too.
spreading bizarre rumors.
Yeah, yeah. That's all the way to go.
Yes. Do you feel overwhelmed by trying to manage your Office 365 environment? Are you facing unexpected issues that disrupt your company's productivity? IntelliJink is here to help. Much like you take your car to the mechanic that has specialized knowledge on how to best keep your car running, IntelliJink helps you with your Microsoft Cloud environment because that's their expertise. IntelliJink keeps up with the latest updates in the Microsoft Cloud to help keep your business running smoothly and ahead of the curve. Whether you are a small organization with just a few users up to an organization of several thousand employees, they want to partner with you to implement and administer your Microsoft Cloud technology. Visit them at IntelliJink.com/podcast. That's IntelliJink.com/podcast for more information or to schedule a 30-minute call to get started with them today. Remember, IntelliJink focuses on the Microsoft Cloud so you can focus on your business.
Moving on past the new news to a new day for SharePoint server. Is that what we're moving on to next?
You want to get right into it.
I do. I'm kind of curious. You wouldn't let me read this article. You said, Ben, we need to like do a podcast where you read this A New Day for SharePoint Server live and react to it, having no preconceived ideas. So I saw some tweets about this SharePoint Server subscription edition, which I'm assuming is A New Day for SharePoint. Mm-hmm. But all I've seen is that it was out and I was scrolling through the news and I'm like, A New Day for SharePoint Server. I wonder what this is.
Yeah. So, like you said, the next edition of SharePoint Server has been announced. You know, we had 2007. We've come all the way up to what? Server 2019.
So we did 7, 10, 13, yeah. 16, 19. We have been consistent, Scott, every 3 years since 7, because we went 4 years there from 03 to 7.
Yep. So let's just toss consistency out the window. We'll start there. So the next version of SharePoint Server is going to be called SharePoint Server SE.
Can I start reading this article now? Am I allowed to read it yet?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the SE, like you said, stands for Subscription Edition, which if you've followed Microsoft over the last couple of years and kind of all their products, you know, you think about like SharePoint Online, Exchange Online, being part of Office 365, Microsoft 365, like all these evergreen suites that are always up to date based on some type of subscription. Heck, even like Windows as a service, you know, but in the way back when Windows 10 came out, you know, the statement at the time was this will be the last version of Windows. And, you know, we just had kind of...
Lo and behold,
things changed a couple of years later. But you did have these just rolling feature updates along the way to keep things to where they need to be. If you can kind of guess by the name, SharePoint Server Subscription Edition is going to probably require a subscription. That's going to be fun.
Okay, so I have an initial reaction just based on that. But anyways, keep going.
It will always be up to date. I think that's kind of a debatable thing, right?
The other versions weren't always up to date.
Right. There was like, no reason that, like, just because, yes, patching's always been harder than it has to be, all those kinds of things. But the updates have been published out there. It's just that people haven't been putting them on. Always up to date also means that you'll get security updates quicker. Theoretically, it will be more reliable. Yeah, we'll see. You know, if you know, and you've seen how sometimes features get flighted into SharePoint Online or Office 365, that might actually be like a detriment to you. Like, I kind of wanted the follow-up announcement to this, that is SharePoint Server long-term support edition. Give me the LTSC thing of it, where I know you're not going to be shoving updates down to farms, you know, every so often, just for those kinds of places that need it. So you kind of got like that is the underlying principle of, hey, let's have a new name, a new, like more rapid iterative process to push out updates and features and effectively be like evergreen and updates, right? So have a continuous update mechanism that, you know, you'll just go ahead and flow into. So you said you have some issues or some feedback on Subscription Edition.
So let's start with Subscription Edition. And I know what you're going to say. So my first thought is, okay, great. I'm doing a Subscription Edition. Now I'm doing monthly. I'm assuming it's going to be monthly. It doesn't. I don't see it in here.
I have not seen yet anything about like plans around how often updates or things like that would come out for it.
Okay, so let's just say subscription implies monthly. Maybe you can do yearly. Why would you pay for a subscription for something on premises if you can do a subscription for SharePoint Online? And you're probably going to say legal reasons. People don't want to be in the cloud. They want it to be on their own servers because they think their own servers can be more secure than the ones that are up in the cloud, blah, 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 blah. But I mean, I feel like the big driver for people staying on premises was that they did not want to pay a subscription. They wanted a one-time fee, pay until I'm ready to upgrade. And I don't want to have to deal with this monthly payment thing. So that's kind of the first thing that I think of with the Subscription Edition is this like, why? First of all, but then I don't know. I'm trying to think of how I even want to phrase it. Like, are you going to be able to sell it to people as a subscription? And then what happens if I stop paying my subscription? Typically on premises hardware, you buy it once, you stop paying, you stop getting support. If I stop paying my subscription, do I just stop getting support? Are they going to like time bomb it and it's just going to stop working for me? Like, I have a problem with subscription software for on-premises, and I pay for some subscription software for my computer, and it really is like I'll say it's subscription, but it's really I buy it once and I keep paying for it to keep getting updates to it. How does that differ from the typical SharePoint version where I pay for it once and every 3 years I pay for it again to get updates for it?
These are all good questions. I think TBD, what goes on there. I didn't see anything published out there that speaks to what type of subscription it'll be. Like, will it be a monthly subscription, yearly? Would it be like tied to an enrollment kind of thing? Like, you know, you sign a 3-year enrollment with Microsoft, or, you know, you sign on to a new MCA. Like, is that what carries your subscription? Is your subscription to the server itself, or is it a per user, per whatever period of time subscription? Like, do I just get to deploy a farm and then I have 100 users and I pay for 100 users, you know, per user per month, just like I would for like Office 365
licenses?
Yes. Yeah, but I'm assuming there might be some other like harder requirement in there. Like, if you're truly requiring like the per user per month thing really like is enforced through all those entitlements that are assigned, you know, versus CALs where I've just got a big bucket of CALs and, you know, true me
up. So maybe they do it that way. And then if you don't have if you don't have enough licenses, only so many people can access it. Like, that's the other thought that goes through my head. I think of Adobe. So the Adobe Premiere, the Creative Cloud Suite, that's monthly for software that runs on my computer. If I stop paying that subscription, the software just stops working. It's not like I could really do that for SharePoint as easily as you can for like desktop software. I don't know. I need more details about the subscription part of this to see how this is going to work. I don't like subscription for a server product. I don't mind it. I don't like paying for it for desktop software. I don't mind it from a business perspective. Like, I get it if I'm going to do maybe Windows on a subscription basis where I have a user, as long as they're employed by me, they have a computer by me, I'm paying for a subscription for their computer, for Windows 10, for whatever it is. But as soon as I go to something I install on my server and I'm like paying a subscription to continue running it on my server, unless it's like you stop getting updates, but that kind of undermines the whole continuous updates and always up to date then, right? Unless you don't care about that. I want to see how the subscription stuff works.
Yeah. The other question would be, if it's continuously updated, is part of your kind of subscription and support mechanism maybe tied to ensuring that you do enable updates and keep things up to date? You know, like what's the underlying support model there that makes it all workable? And then you kind of couple that and go ahead and throw that on with potential for like server update requirements. You know, like you've always got hardware and software requirements. So, you know, do you meet min spec for RAM and CPU and disk? Do you meet min spec for version of SQL that supports all the underlying databases? Do you meet min spec for underlying operating system? And those are things you've had to contend with everything else along the way. But I just wonder how much like friction is introduced even just in,
right.
So, in the naming of it. Like that's an interesting kind of decision along the way.
Yeah. So continuous updates are another one I'm struggling with. I'm struggling with a lot of this, if you can't tell. So, Scott, do you know how many files are shared outside your organization? Or are you sure that every team in your Microsoft 365 tenant has a valid owner? Guess what? ShareGate's got your back. After helping thousands of customers move to Office 365, they've learned that success in the cloud involves more than just migration. That's why they created ShareGate Apricot, an automated governance platform for Microsoft Teams and Microsoft 365 groups. ShareGate Apricot can help you answer questions like these without planning unnecessary restrictions on your users. With ShareGate Apricot, you get full visibility across each team's lifecycle from creation all the way through to archival. You can automate manual tasks involved in identifying problem areas like inactive or orphan teams. And you can collaborate with team owners on corrective measures to keep your teams tidy and secure. That's also why they've combined ShareGate Desktop, their trusted migration and content management tool, with ShareGate Apricot in a single subscription so that you have everything you need to be successful in the Microsoft cloud. So continuous updates. Pressure to optimize your IT infrastructure for ever-changing business conditions requires you to be agile, blah, blah, blah. That means investing in solutions that provide reliability and choice. Okay. SharePoint Server Subscription Edition provides the flexibility to tailor deployment based on your unique business needs. With SharePoint Server Subscription Edition, you'll end the cycle of long and costly major version upgrades to get new features and remain in support. They'll deliver latest innovations to customers through updates that can be installed on your SharePoint Subscription Edition farms. How is that any different from cumulative updates or service packs or anything that they've done in the past, other than implying that, like you had mentioned earlier, there's not going to be another major release. Now we're just, here's SharePoint. It's just going to be updated forever. There is no versioning anymore.
So I think it goes back to potentially that support thing too. So one sentence in there you had, with SharePoint Server SE, you'll end the long cycle of costly and major of long and costly major version upgrades to get new features and, emphasis on and, remain in support. So if you're not on like patch that came out last week, last month, you know, whatever it is, I imagine there's some min time associated with that. But your potential to fall out of support comes much quicker, would be my bet.
Wasn't that already the case though with cumulative updates? Like you would reach a certain point in Microsoft to be like, well, you're not up to date with your updates, so you're not going to be supported. Or
yeah,
maybe it wasn't as explicit.
I think there was some kind of like leeway there just based in language on the way things have come out. And you have lots of things that are running like way behind in cumulative updates. And you know, if you weren't on, like, you know, if the right language was never in your support contract or it was never in the product, like it's hard to change it. So a new product coming out is an opportunity to fix some of that.
To fix all that. To me, this feels like a lot of what that is. This is a chance to, one, do what you just said, where it's going to fix some of that language, some of the support stuff. This also feels like a way to try to get more people to go to the cloud, because I don't see how I could legitimately recommend this to anybody. Like, if you're going to do all of this, why not just go to SharePoint Online?
Regulatory compliance, like you said.
Again, going back to a couple of those things. But yep. Even that's getting harder and harder to say you have to be on-prem for.
Yes. Yeah. I think given kind of the pace of certifications for security things, the ability to meet like very broad like regulatory requirements across a bunch of different industries in the cloud, like that all gets easier and easier and easier over time. And I think that's always been one of Microsoft's like good differentiators, is that they chase that stuff down like relentlessly to make sure it's not a barrier.
Yeah. So I've been a little critical of this. I do have one thing I do like in here.
What's that?
But it also leads to
TLS 1.3.
Yes, that is absolutely it. TLS 1.3. No, that's not it. Upgrades from where you are. SharePoint Server Subscription Edition makes it easy to get up and running with new upgrade options that allow you to upgrade directly from SharePoint Server 2016 without having to first upgrade to SharePoint Server 2019. So technically, they're actually finally doing an N-2 for the upgrade, which
that is official.
Also makes me question, is this really SharePoint Server Subscription Edition, or is this just an update to SharePoint Server 2019 and a name change? With some minor tweaks, some of the stuff you mentioned, TLS 1.3, OpenID Connect, some fixes to People Picker for modern authentication. And really, this is just like a minor update to 2019, which is how they allow you to go from 2016 as well. If this is, I don't know, just me speculating that this is just a newer version of 2019 under the covers. Either way, they do let you go from 2016. They're not going to force you to go to 2019 first.
Yep, you are correct. So it is N-2. So technically, the way it's framed is federated service applications all support an N-2 for content farms. So if you think about like even all the essays you stand up and you can do a cross-farm publishing between some of those essays, that will continue to work as well. So if you're on SharePoint Server SE and that's N, you could have a shared service application even sitting back in SharePoint Server 2016. So maybe like your BDC, like your business data connectivity service has been up running forever. It's rock solid. Like it's doing the thing it needs to do. And you just want to get going on SE, but you don't want to bring your BDC along with you. Like things like that will work as well.
Yeah. This is interesting. So I'm reading some of the comments too. There was a comment underneath this article that we'll link to. And somebody said, true SPO on-prem, fire and forget. No more burning incense before CU installs. Yay. I have yet to actually see that that's true. This just feels like we're just going to have CUs. We just don't ever have another major version.
Well, I would hope that there are some like underlying learnings that come from running SPO for so long that can potentially be brought back to on-prem. Like, I don't think you'll ever get to the same like ringed deployment methodology and kind of SDP and, you know, like the whole safe deployment thing. And like, that's not going to be the case. But if you have more frequent, smaller patches that are more kind of incremental, like not incremental, but more like small, like iterative updates, whether they're bug fixes or like add a new button here, change a style there kind of thing. Like theoretically, those can all go out much, much faster.
Yes, I would agree. I have to believe it to see it because I have not seen Microsoft do that with any, maybe with Office. They've done that a little bit with on-prem, where you're kind of getting like the new, essentially Office 365 desktop clients, right? You kind of get that a little bit where if you're on a certain release, and maybe this is how they will do it with SPO, where it's always just reaching out to the server and pulling down some of those more minor updates and updating a lot like the Office desktop client does versus how Windows 10 or Windows Server or Exchange or frankly, any of those update, like then I could see a little bit more of this continuous update if it's updating a lot more like the Office desktop application is.
Could be, or it could be a real pain in the ass. It could be monthly CUs and based on the support contract and the mechanism, like you're into like an N minus whatever for CU support and you're just going to have more regular outages or like kind of forced updates to get you to where you need to be, which is really about like being able to have like a better overall support lifecycle and you know, you call it continuous updates or easy to place. I don't know. We'll have to see. But like, I don't think it looks very different than what's out there today. Like if you went and installed SharePoint Server 2019 and you went and fired up SE, which you can download today, like you can go out, grab the ISOs, you can get hands-on with all this. I'll put links in the show notes for all the hardware requirements, software requirements, like links to the download center for the ISOs, all those kinds of things, the installation guides, like it's very similar to SharePoint Server 2019. Like the only thing that's going to look different is the installer's got a different color. And then when it spins up on the other side and like you log in the first time, it's not going to look different at all.
Right. So, and that's kind of what I'm continuing to go through the comments that I did not read ahead of time. And there's a couple more further down here that says, I installed SharePoint Server Subscription Edition Preview, because in this article, there are links. You can go grab the links, download it, install it. On Windows 2019 server, I was expecting this version to be in close match with the features available in SharePoint Online. I don't see any new features except a few minor updates like a new SharePoint logo, download folder, multiple files from a document library as a zip file. How does auto update work? And then another one, I think we are confirmed that this is essentially a managed version of SharePoint 2019, where a lot of the headache is handled for us. And it is not parity with SharePoint Online and will never be, which I could have told you that on-prem will never be parity with SharePoint Online. There's too many other things under the covers. There is potential to make them in maybe a different version of SharePoint framework, but the couple people that have commented that look to have installed this are essentially saying, it's SharePoint 2019 with a few minor updates.
Yep.
So,
indeed.
I don't know. So my recommendation out of all of this, just go to SharePoint Online. Unless you have a really, 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 really good reason not to, especially given this is going to be a subscription. I would hope the subscription, like the cost per seat for the subscription, ends up being less than SharePoint Online, because you're now still providing your own hardware and infrastructure, and you're still doing a lot more of supporting it than Microsoft is in SharePoint Online. But I am going to be curious to see how the pricing for this falls out.
Yeah. Yep.
Spot by NetApp is the cloud automation platform that makes it easy to deliver continuously optimized infrastructure at the lowest possible cost. Spot helps their customers get the most out of their cloud investments by automating cloud infrastructure to ensure performance, reduced complexity, and optimized costs. Their machine learning and automation scale to exactly meet application needs using the most efficient mix of instances and pricing models, eliminating the risks of over-provisioning and cloud waste. Best of all, their software works with leading cloud platforms, services, and tools so that you can simplify and automate your cloud infrastructure wherever your workloads and applications run and however you run them. Discover how leading companies, from cloud-native startups to global enterprises, are automating, simplifying, and optimizing their cloud infrastructure with Spot by NetApp. Check them out at spot.io/MSIT, where you can find more information, request a demo, or even start a free trial.
Oh, that was the other question I had. So continuous updates. What happens when my OS is no longer supported, Scott, with continuous updates? Like, because
you can upgrade your OS.
In SharePoint Online, I get continuous updates, but I don't have to worry about underlying OS or hardware requirements or CPU or memory or disk. Like, I'm assuming I just start adding servers and ripping servers out. I've kind of done this already with some other versions, where you like go put in a new version or a new server to your farm running an updated OS, and then slowly add those in and then pull the old ones out. But that's obviously something else you're going to have to watch out for with continuous updates, is that your underlying infrastructure continues to support those updates as they roll down. Oh, interesting. I don't know about this, Scott. I'm going to stick to SharePoint Online. If you need SharePoint on-premises support, call Scott.
Do not call Scott.
Scott's looking to get back into the SharePoint on-premises world, right? I'm going to get you in trouble.
No,
don't call Scott.
No, don't call Scott. Scott doesn't do that.
Well,
Scott deals with blob storage.
You'll call Scott and Scott will tell you to call Ben. I know how this is going to work.
Yeah.
I felt like I was very cynical of that, Scott. I was not very positive.
I think it's tough. Like licensing changes, potential, all those things aside, it's not a new thing. It's an old thing with a new coat of paint right now. So that's kind of tough to swallow and get around. The telling thing will be, you know, once it comes out, where are you in a year post-release? Like how rapid and, you know, how quickly can they iterate on what's there? Or do they even feel they need to? Does maybe like SE become more of like a stability thing? I don't know.
I'm going to go more stability.
Maintain stability, maintain hybrid capabilities. The underlying goal, and I don't think this is a secret anywhere, is that Microsoft and all these companies are like into kind of ongoing revenue from things like subscriptions, be they for products, services, whatever they happen to be. And, you know, if you're somebody who's brand new to SharePoint today, like you're a brand new company, you spun up, you've never heard of it, like you're probably not going to go to SharePoint on-prem. This is like the release for people that really need to have it. They're still there on-prem. They haven't made it over yet. Like, you know, like I said, like make it stable, make the hybrid stuff work better, like focus on that. And it gives you maybe like more directionality to where it goes over time.
Yeah. So there is a link to the community forum too. So they did stand up a community forum in tech community for SharePoint Server Subscription Edition. We can link to that. People have started asking questions. Some really good ones like, what about InfoPath, UPS, Cert, SharePoint Framework? Are we going to get hub sites? Stuff about supporting the server-side object model. And all the responses from Microsoft are, we aren't announcing any additional details about SharePoint Server Subscription Edition at this time. So you can go to the forum, you can ask questions, but you're not going to get any more details at this point in time.
Yeah. Early days.
But
kick the tires, yeah. But like it's
keep your eye on it.
It's going to feel like the same tire you've already kicked.
Yes. And there is not much detail there. So like this person just kind of laid it all out there. He's like InfoPath, UPS, Search, Legacy Workflow, Performance Point, SSRS, Managed Metadata Service, what's happening to classic sites, timer jobs, event receivers, forms, SPFX versions, site designs, limits, hub sites, migration tool support, and he didn't get, it's just, wait, you'll find out more later.
Mm-hmm.
So TBD on some of those features. I'm sure we'll have some follow-ups on this because I'm going to watch this too, but it is interesting nonetheless. And I will try to be a little more optimistic about coming forward or moving forward from this on what's coming next.
Yeah, yeah. We'll see where it all goes.
Yes. But with that, I should probably go get some more work done before I go on vacation.
Probably.
And I'll let you go look for some place to drive to.
Yeah, if anybody has any suggestions, hit me up on Twitter, because even by the time this one comes out, I'll still have time to call it audible.
You, well, like 24 hours, right?
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
I'm not too worried about
it. Yeah. All right. Sounds good.
All right.
Well, go enjoy your weekend, Scott. And we'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Ben.
Yep. Bye-bye.
If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.